So the terminology that we're going to try to explore today is a topic of being in Christ and what that means. Because if you're a Christian, you've been placed in Christ. And to me, it's being able to see ourselves from a new perspective. And I am not who I was, but I am who I am now. So it's the difference between the old life and the new life, because we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ now if we're a Christian. It's a personal relationship, and I've always said it's supposed to be personal, not private. You know, it's not so private that we don't let our light shine. We're supposed to let our light shine. So it's a personal relationship with Jesus, and when we're in a relationship, we shouldn't make the mistake of comparing ourselves to other people. You know, whether they, you can always find somebody worse off than you and somebody always better off than you. So in our relationship with God, we don't compare ourselves to other people. Instead, you know, we just need to look to the Word of God and what God's Word says to us to find out who we really are and what God has done for us. And I really believe in my heart this in Christ revelation will let us lead a life of victory instead of a life of defeat. Nothing bugs me more than to see Christians walking in defeat. And I know we're not going to win every battle, but we do win the war. Amen? There's some battles going to come in our life that's kind of hard. But I do know this, that we should never live in a constant state of defeat in our life as a born-again believer. Because I believe that God has come inside of us and He's given us everything that we need so that we can live that life abundant and that overcoming life. My main thing today we're going to see is that we are in Christ when we let Christ in us. Sounds really simple, but we need to let Him in. The passage we're going to look at today is Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 to 27. Galatians 3, 24 to 27. It says, "Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Let's pray. Father, we honor you today. We thank you so much for the power of the Holy Spirit just to be here in our lives. Holy Spirit, we just yield to you. We just want your way to be done. You're going to lead us and guide us and to teach us all the things that we need to know. Lord, I thank you. We don't have to live like we used to, but we can live like you say we can. And I thank you for that overcoming, that victorious life that you've come to give us, Lord. We want to learn how we can walk in that and be a light and an inspiration to others. Lord, I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and again, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. The first point I want to look at today is something that we need to really get settled in our heart, and I believe that we all probably have it settled in our mind, but I do believe we need to get it settled in our heart, and that's the idea of being paid in full. You know, that feeling that we can have when we get something paid off. Now, I don't know if they still do it or not, but you remember them payment books you used to get, when you took out a loan, you know, maybe for a car or, you know, your house or something like that. But I know with a car, they would give us a payment book, and it could be varying. It could be a 3-year deal, it could be a 4-year deal, or it could be a 5-year deal. And every month, you would have to take out your checkbook and you would have to rip out that payment for that month, and you would have to painfully set down and write out that check. Then you'd have to get a stamp, and you'd have to put it in an envelope, and you have to mail it off to the one who's lent you that money. Now, today it's a lot easier, isn't it? It's less painful because they do auto withdrawal right out of your account. You can set that up. But I'll tell you what, every month that you set down and you have to make that payment, it makes you really think, did I really need that? Is that something I really wanted? And see, then all of a sudden you get to the back of the book, and you get to the back of the book and you rip out that last payment and you write out that last check and you mail that off. And for the first time in several years, you're debt free. You're free. You never have to pay for that again. And I don't know about you, but I love that feeling of being debt-free and not having to pay. And see, that's how we need to look at it with, you know, the idea with Jesus Christ. Now, when you work for to make pay that car off, you know, you work hard. Some people may take on some extra hours because maybe they bought more car than it can handle or maybe more house than they can handle. I've watched that a lot of times in people's lives. But one thing we have to remember that it's different in our relationship with Jesus Christ because he's the one who did all the work. He's the one who went and paid that price for us. And it's by faith that we understand that somebody else paid our debt. And the thing about Jesus I want us to understand is that Jesus is not still making payments for our sins. With him, it was a one-time payment. And his payment was so good that it paid for everything. So whatever sin that we have committed and whatever sin that we were going to commit, the blood of Jesus is more powerful than that. So we can go free. Now what we have to do is accept Christ's payment. Now I know this sounds kind of basic, but you know, Paul in the book of Galatians, he was preaching to a church that kind of fell out of grace a little bit and they got back into works because sometimes we can make that mistake in our own life where we start to measure ourselves to other people. We may look at other Christians that somebody's better than us and all of a sudden then Satan kind of plants those thoughts in our mind. See, you're not doing enough. See, you're not good enough. And see, those are lies from the enemy. God wants us to get to the place where we're in Christ that we know that we've been placed in there because of the decision that we've made by faith and that there's nothing else we can do to make that relationship any better in the sense of the legal aspect of what's happened. Now, the relationship can get better by our, you know, being in a place where we're going to study and pray and do things like that, but that just helps us to really connect a little better. See, Jesus came and erased our rap sheet. Now, I know we all probably have a spiritual rap sheet that we did have. You know, the things that we did before we got saved. And I don't know if you've ever anybody's ever told you that, but before you accepted Jesus Christ, you were a criminal. We were criminals because we had sinned against God. And we had a rap sheet. Now, about you, you could probably think back of all the things, you know, maybe you've done in your life. I mean, I can a little bit. I had a pretty long rap sheet there for a while. I hit it hard for about 7 years, you know what I'm saying? You know, I broke a lot of spiritual laws and different things during that. But, you know, I know the power of forgiveness when I understood the concept of what it meant to be put in Christ, that I'm in that kind of relationship with him. Because ever sin that I had committed and every sin that you have committed in your life has been erased and wiped away. And I don't know about you, that's a powerful thing to understand what forgiveness is all about. Now, the idea then, all of a sudden, you know, you could go up to the Heavenly Father and say, hey, Father, remember that sin when I did this sin? And the Father would say, now God knows everything, right? But you could go up to the Father and say, hey, Father, remember that day when I sinned and I stole this? And the Heavenly Father would say, no. No, I don't remember that. No, I don't recall that. See, it's been wiped away by the blood of Jesus. And we need to understand that concept of what forgiveness is all about. That the love of God, He chooses to overlook all our previous transgressions. When we repent and ask Jesus Christ to cleanse us by His blood, we go free. And it's that freedom that helps us to become the person that God's created us to be. See, before we're a Christian, we're always striving and pushing and trying to be something. But once we ask Jesus Christ into our hearts, we can finally come to the place in knowing that I am something. I am a child of God. And with that relationship, I've told people before, once I met Jesus Christ, very few people impress me anymore. I could meet the president, I could meet anybody, and I would not be impressed because I've already met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I've given my life to Him. So the most important thing is to understand the dynamic of that relationship of what it means to be in Christ. You know, some people I know from time to time have a hard time receiving. Maybe you're that here today. You know, maybe you love to give, but you know, have you ever had somebody try to give you something and you wouldn't take it? Oh, no, I'm fine. I don't want that. Or maybe you've tried to do something nice for somebody and they say, no, I don't want that. You know, some people have a hard time receiving for whatever reason. But yet, we need to get to the place that we don't have a hard time receiving from God. Because if we do not receive this revelation, in my opinion, we're doomed to a life of failure. Because it's important that we understand, you know, who we are in Christ. And, you know, in order to receive it, there's a catch. You know, it is free, you know, and there's nothing we can do because salvation is a gift. But the other end of the equation, I just want to be up front, is the idea that we need to surrender our life to God and what that means to you. You know, we need to surrender and say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to take control. Now, the Lord is a good master or Lord, and he will not make us do bad things in the sense, you know, where a lot of people think, well, if I give my life to Christ, he'll make me be a missionary somewhere I don't want to go. No, he won't make you do that. He may give you a desire and you can respond or reject. I mean, you have a free will. And no matter what you do, he'll never take your free will away. You know, even sinners believe Jesus is a Savior, but only a Christian believes Jesus is Lord. And that revelation that we get to understand that Jesus Christ is our Lord separates us from the world. And it's a very powerful thing to get. Because I know that the Lord will take our mess and he'll make it a miracle. We're all a miracle today. A miracle in what God has done in our life. You know, no matter where we've came from or what we've done, Jesus Christ's blood was so powerful, it destroyed its power over our life, and we get that fresh start where we can walk in his love and his understanding. But the fact is that it has to be a faith thing. You have to have faith. You have to believe. You know, faith takes us out of natural thinking and puts us into supernatural thinking. And to me, you know, the only way that we can be in Christ is to take God at his word. And this is what really helped me in my life. In my pilgrimage of trying to find Christ, which we know he wasn't lost, I was, but I would read everything I could get my hands on. Some of it wasn't as healthy for me as others. But yet I was seeking hard, wanting to find truth. And if you can do anything in your life, seek to find truth. Because it's that truth, it's a revelation of that truth in your heart that will set you free. And I had lived my life for years, always feeling that God was at arm's length. But when I finally came to Christ, he became close to me. And I understood what it meant to be really born again and get that new life. Now, when we're in Christ, we let Christ in us, and we need to let him in. So faith is really not a leap in the dark, but it's a step towards God. How many remember that old story? A guy was out in the woods, and it was pitch black. The moon, you know, it was clouded over, and he couldn't really see where he was going. And he was walking along, and all of a sudden he fell off a cliff. And as he was falling, all of a sudden he was reaching out for something, and he grabbed a hold of a limb. And he was hanging on that limb, and he's yelling, "Help, help, is there anybody out there?" And the Lord said, "I'm here, I'm the Lord, trust me." And the Lord said, "Let go of the limb." And the guy got real quiet. And he waited a while, and then he said, "Is there anybody else up there?" But then daylight came. He was only 4 foot off the ground. If he would have trusted the Lord, he could have let go. See, we can trust the Lord's voice in what he tells us to do. The next thing I want to look at today is the idea of the new you. We need to get this in our head as the idea. It's not you 2.0. We're not the improved version. You know, how many have tried to improve you? All you men out there today, has your wife tried to improve you sometimes? Make you a better man? make you a better husband, whatever the case may be. That happens, doesn't it? But when it comes to God, we're not the improved version. You know, we were taken out of something and put into something new. See, we came out of darkness into His marvelous light. We transferred from this area and went over into a new area where He is. And see, the gospel does not teach us how to get better. The gospel teaches us how to be free. And the most dangerous person on this planet is a Christian that knows they're free. That you do not have to bow your knee to the enemy and anything that he throws your way, because you know who you are and you know who you're connected to. See, my big brother Jesus, he can handle anything. And what, you know, I can't handle everything. I handle a few things. But I know there's things in my life that I can't handle, and that's why I trust Him. So the gospel, don't let it make you be a better person. Don't let it reform you. You know, the Bible's not a self-improvement book. It's a book on how to be a totally new person. It's how to be totally free. And only when we're free can we be the person that really God's called us to be. God created you. He designed you. He has a blueprint for you since the foundation of the earth. He has such a plan for you that is great and it's marvelous. And the only way we can step into that is to surrender our life to Him and then allow that new life to come in us. I never dreamed I would be doing the things I'm doing now. When I was a young boy, just different things going on in my life, you know, I never had any idea the plan that God had for me. I know He had a plan because He delivered me from death so many times, stupid things I would do. But not until I became born again and took one step after the other, following after Him, wanting more of Him, did I find out who the new me was. And tell you what, I encourage you to take that journey one step after the other. See, our spirit can only becomes alive again when we're born again. I'm going to try to explain a complex thing so we understand. You know, we are born spiritually dead. When you're born because of the sin of Adam, you can't help it, nothing you can do. We are born spiritually dead or separated from God. That's a theological fact. And the problem is that God is a spirit and we are a spirit. And when our spirit doesn't mean it's dead from existence, it just means that there's a wall or a barrier there between us and God. But when we're born again and allow the blood of Jesus to deal with our problem, that wall is taken away. Then we become alive unto God again. And then we're in relationship with Him. And that gives us the potential to live the overcoming life that He's called us to. But we have to deal with that barrier. That barrier needs to be taken away. Religion can't take us away. Quitting all and doing all the things that you thought was fun will not take that away. It only is faith, and when we repent and we turn from our sins and let that barrier be taken away, can we start to enjoy that new life, because we are in Christ when we let Christ in us. Now, not all people are children of God. You know, I don't want to get physical with people, but I want to slap some people sometimes. We're all God's children. Well, no, you're not. You're not God's children. The only way you can be a child of God is to be a Christian. You have to be born again. You know, not all the different religions on the earth are God's children. You know, it's the idea of us coming to Christ and accept Jesus by faith. See, the church is not something that we attend. The church is who we are. Our identity is to be kingdom business. We're not trying to build this church. We're trying to build His church. And we understand that revelation. It frees us up to be better than we ever thought we could be. See, the church is not a static organization, but it's a dynamic organism that is always growing. And it's a family, and we are placed in this family. If God's called you here, you're in the family of God here in this church at River Life. Now, sometimes family doesn't get along. That's just the way it is. But you don't kick family to the curb, right? They're still family, right? Now, some of you may not get along. I've heard the horror stories. I mean, I get along with all my family on both sides. Well, for the most part, right? No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, I know some family may not get along with each other all the time, but you're still family. And we need to see it, that and the importance of what it means to be in the family of a local church and serving God. We need to be willing to work through our differences with other people and to try to get along. It's for the greater good, for His greater glory. That's really what it's all about. It's really not about us anymore when we accept Jesus Christ. You know, now we live for Him. Lastly, we need to put on Christ. We need a change of heart, not a change of clothes. A lot of people try to clean themselves up and they change, you know, their outward appearance. And they, you know, put different things, you know, change. Like, I have certain sets of clothes where I do certain things. You know, have you ever heard the saying, you know, you clean up pretty good? You know, I hear that quite a bit because I'm dirty a lot, you know. And I don't wear my good clothes to paint. I'm a messy painter. You know, I would not wear a suit or my, you know, my dress pants or shirts to go and paint something. I'm just that messy. I would go and get the worst clothes that I have. You know, something like the kids wear. My pants would have holes in them everywhere. You know, I don't wear those for style. I wear them because they're wore out, you know. But I would wear those old clothes, and I would do that because I don't want to get my good clothes dirty. And see, we need to put on and be clothed with Christ. We don't want to live in that old flesh nature, those old things that hold us back. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we judge people by the clothes they wear, don't they? Now, to me, I could care less about designer clothes, but, you know, some people who are rich and famous, you know, they'll buy them designer clothes, and that's a big thing to them. You know, I don't know some. I don't know who they are. I suppose Ralph Lauren or maybe his perfume. I really don't know. And, you know, these people that buy all these clothes, and they identify with the fact. I just Googled this just for fun this morning. I mean, there was a shirt for $28,000. A shirt. Now, that's, you know, you might have been able to got them down $500 here or there if you know, shot them a price. I mean, I'd sell something for that. I'd sell a shirt for that. You know, but isn't that crazy? You know, we put so much faith in this world system thinking that by what we put on in the world is going to make us better, make us more palatable, that people will like us more or think we have more going for ourselves than other people. But see, we need to be clothed with Christ. We need to allow the righteousness of God just to shine out of us. See, it's in us and it wants to come out of us. And that's what really shines. I love looking at a Christian where you just see the glory of God just shining out of them. And we just need to let that new life that's in us live outside of us. It's a badge of honor when people look at us and they see Christ. They see that it's Jesus in us, because it's just all about life change. And, you know, when we're about life change and letting Him take control, then we walk in the power that He has for our life, because we are in Christ. And when we let Christ in us. And the importance of let Jesus Christ into your life. And it's that journey that we all must take. It's a journey that we can take with other people to a degree, but it's a journey that we must finish on our own. It's a journey that when we come to Christ and we seek after Him, it's got to be something that we desire in our heart. I do know this. I was a farm boy. You can lead a horse to water, and you cannot make that animal drink. And it's the same with a person. You can try to get people to come to Christ, but it all falls back on them. They must have a desire to want to know Christ, just like we must have a desire to want to live that new life so the world can see. See, the church, for years, have tried to market religion instead of relationship. See, religion we can control, right? Well, you only came to church twice this month, so you must not be as spiritual as somebody that went three or four times this month. You know what I mean? We measure it towards everybody. But see, that's wrong. See, it's about relationship. It's about the relationship that we have with God. It's something that can't be measured by human standards. It's something that only God and you can have together. And then we can witness it. We can witness your lifestyle. We should. And that's the other side of the coin. I don't want to make it sound like we can just kumbaya and go through life and never, you know, want to change or say things happen in our life, because it does take that kind of responsibility and that relationship. And it's important that we do that. But I just want us to see today the idea of what it means to be in Christ, that you're not the same anymore. Don't look in the mirror and just see that same old person, that person that used to maybe fail all the time, that person that would have to bow their knee to some addiction. You know, maybe there's an addiction in your life today. I had an addiction in my life. I tried to overcome it. I tried to, you know, put it under my feet. But it always kept rising back up again. But I tell you, that day where I finally surrendered, it doesn't sound like a thing that you'd think that surrender will bring victory. But see, when I surrendered, then I could walk in Jesus's victory. And when I walked in His victory, it became my victory. And I was free. And I want to encourage you today, you don't have to bow your knee anymore. The same power that worked in my life can work in your life. And the relationship that Jesus has, he comes to give to everybody. So when we look in a mirror, you know, what do we see? Do we see the old man, or do we see the new man in Christ? See, the revelation that we're in Christ, because Christ is in us, is a very foundational revelation that we all must receive. It's the power of Christ's blood that sets us free and is life-changing. And I just want to encourage today, if you are not walking in that revelation, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that truth to you, because it will change your life. Let's pray.